James chapter 5. So on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the house of prayer. We've been looking at prayer from the perspective of a house. Had a lot of comments that it's just, how many of you know it's good to look at the same topic sometime from a whole completely different perspective, right? Sometimes you can see things maybe a little bit differently. The Holy Spirit maybe has a little bit of an opportunity to get stuff across to us that maybe we wouldn't normally, you know, I just think it's good. Anyhow, I just really feel like it's important that we as a church body, you know, I'm spending 7 weeks talking about prayer. I just feel like a season of prayer in terms of heightened awareness about it. I think it's just really important. I don't know what's been going on a practical level with you. I got a kind of a neat message that was sent to me that talking about the house prayer, that when they go into different rooms or the house, they pray. It makes them think about some things. So, you know, anytime that we can do more of it, how many of you know we're going to be better off, right? So on Wednesday nights, though, what I've wanted to talk about is I've wanted to talk about different kinds of prayer, which is different for me than a form of prayer. Kind of just looking specifically at some different types of prayer, at least that we have lined in Scripture. How many of you know God just loves it when we talk to Him? Amen. Okay, whether it's, you know, whatever. I just think as we grow, how many of you know your language and your understanding grows as you grow in maturity, right? And certainly, if we can understand prayer a little bit more, maybe more in depth on some things, I think it can help us. I'll use this word, don't take it as don't take it with capital letters, but we can be a little bit more correct, knowing that anytime we pray, talk to God, that's the right thing to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? But how many of you know that you can grow in our maturity, and in that I think it can help us. We can understand what may be appropriate to pray for, how to pray, what rule, if I could say it this way, what are the rules of different types of prayer. I thought of a great analogy. How many of you always use a Band-Aid on your head when you get a headache? Go ahead, raise your hand. We don't, do we? Because we learn, what do we learn? Most headaches don't require a Band-Aid, right? So we take what? And then I thought, when's the last time you cut yourself, you went to the cupboard, got you an aspirin and stuck it in the wound? Could an aspirin help? I mean, we could look at it and say, well, it is all, you know, it's all kind of medicine. No, what I'm just, I was thinking about that today. The point being that as we grow, we realize that a Band-Aid is not what you use to take care of a headache. You use an aspirin or an Advil or a, you know, whatever, right? Does that make sense? As we grow in the Lord in our maturity, it's a very real thing that we can learn more dynamics, and we can learn how things work, if I could say it that way, then we can use the appropriate thing for whatever. Does that make sense? I don't know, maybe that just can clarify what I mean by, you know, to use a sports analogy, when you play soccer, you don't use baseball rules. You use soccer rules. When you play baseball, you don't use basketball rules. We could say, well, they all have rules and it's all athletics. But how many of you know, yes, they all have rules, yes, and it's all athletics. But how many of you know they're not the same athletics? And you can get, could you play a soccer game with baseball rules? Yeah, you probably could, but it probably wouldn't end up looking like soccer. Right? Although we could say this, but being out on the field exercising is a good thing. Amen? Last week, we talked about the prayer of agreement. We went to the book of Matthew chapter 18, starting around, I think, verse 15. We tried to at least approach the prayer of agreement from its context. And the context of the prayer of agreement is over a dispute, right? Or over an offense. And so we looked at that. And today, we're going to talk about, we'll see how far we get, but we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. Okay, let's go to the book of James chapter 5, and let's read in verse 13. You could call this something else. That's just in the New King James Version or the King James Version, it talks about the prayer of faith. So that's why I'm calling it the prayer of faith. If you were to look at it from a sacramental perspective, it would be anointing with oil. Okay, but anyhow, let's just read here. Is anyone among you suffering. Or one translation says, is anyone among you sick? Let him pray. Is any one of you cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is any one among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save or deliver the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Okay? Goes on to say, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can I tell you a funny story once? It has nothing to do with the teaching, but whenever I read that scripture, in the King James Version, it says, availeth much, right? So, this is years ago, probably 20 plus years ago. Somebody called the church and wanted to speak to the pastor. And so I'm on the phone and they wanted prayer for something. And they wanted that availeth prayer. And I just could not understand them. I said, ma'am, what can I pray for you for? And she told me. And I said, well, I'll be certain to happen. She says, well, I want to be sure. I want that availeth prayer. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean? And she quoted this scripture. She said, that availeth prayer. And I said, there's a word. I said, spell the word that you're talking about. And so she spells it. And she spelled it A-V-A-Y-L-A, Avela. I said, ma'am, I've never heard of that prayer in my whole life. I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't know what to tell you. If you tell me what your need is, I'll be happy to pray for you. She just got really frustrated on the phone. She wanted that Avela prayer. And then I realized the fervent prayer of a righteous. I said, ma'am, is this what you're talking about? The fervent prayer of a righteous man, I said, or it could be, or woman, availeth much. Yeah, that's the one. It's like, okay. I just, whenever I read that, I always think of her conversation. I think, wow, that was really interesting. Avail a prayer. Okay. Okay, so it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith. Well, first of all, how many of you know we could say this? All prayer needs to be prayed in faith. Okay, but this is a specific. And the only reason I'm bringing this out is because it's mentioned specifically. So here we have I don't know where we even got this. I have no clue. Actually, I think somebody got this from TBN and brought it to us. I don't know. But this is oil in here, and it's probably Kirkland oil. I don't know. Maybe it's not. No, this is Kirkland oil. It's going rancid. No, it's not. It's just normal oil. And so there is. We can anoint with oil, lay hands on the sick, and pray for somebody. That's also sacramental in its nature as well. It's called the sacrament of laying on of hands. Some circles call it the sacrament of holy unction, okay? Which, same sort of a deal. How many of you know we need the power of the Holy Spirit in whatever takes place in our prayer? So that's a specific prayer that, so in that, how many of you know if you were asking, if you had a decision before you, should I take this job or should I take that job? How many of you know, coming forward, if you were to come forward and say, would you anoint me with oil? So that would be different stuff going on right there. Does that make sense at all? Okay, so we anoint with oil for those that are sick in their body. We anoint with, and we're happy to do that. Some would say, well, is there any difference in doing that versus do I have to be anointed with oil? No, you don't have to be at all, but you can be. Does that make sense? How many of you know that we can receive things from God different ways? Does that make sense? So, you know, somebody could just lay hands on you. Because in another portion of Scripture, Jesus talks about that they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When that's mentioned, that's over in the book of Mark chapter 16. When that's mentioned, oil, anointing with oil isn't not specifically mentioned there. However, one of the things that is interesting is that it was understood by just that's how you do it, that when Jesus said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, the understood thing in the early church, as early as the Apostle Paul, understood that when it says to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, that they would have been anointed with oil. So in other words, it's been something that's been around forever, and it's available. Actually, just a few weeks ago, somebody heard about anointing with oil, came forward and said, I heard about being anointed with oil. I'm sick, would you anoint me with oil? It's like, be happy to. Absolutely be happy to. Is there any magic in the oil? No. So then why do we need it? You ever wondered that? Actually, it's a good question. You know, it's interesting, age groups of people, there's a certain age group of people that will question you, and it's the older baby boomers that are on the back end of the hippie deal. You know what I mean? Really, seriously. What did that generation do? Rebelled. Questioned everything. If it says to do it, I'm going to find a way that I can do it without doing it. Am I right? There's a few of us that are, I'm on the back end of that. I'm not quite in the middle of that world, but there are a few of you that you were in the middle of it. Am I right in terms of a characterization? You know, if it says to do that, well, why do you know, just question, why? Well, is it necessary? Well, what's magical about oil? I don't know how many times I've had people ask me that just maybe aren't from a church background or just questioners, and that's okay to question. Questions will never knock God off the throne. But to just say, well, why oil? My answer is, I don't know. I mean, I could go into what oil has always represented. I could go into that, you know, the New Testament practice of anointing with oil totally carried over from the Old Testament, okay? So I could just say this, that, you know, God's done it forever. But I will say this, God always has used natural things to be a vehicle for supernatural. Always. He always has. And he always will. Amen? So there's nothing magical in the oil. So anybody that's sick and that wants to be anointed with oil, there's nothing magical in the oil. There's nothing magical in the hand of the person that anoints you with oil. Amen? But at the same time, here's what's really important. What's really important is, and here's how I think ultimately we should settle things that we don't always understand. Is it's this particular prayer is specifically lined out in Scripture. It's a very specific thing. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So while we may not always intellectually understand the reasons of why, right, I think what's important is that God set it out for us, so let's utilize it. God laid it out. And so where do we put our faith when the prayer of faith is prayed over us? Where do we put our faith? Do we put our faith in the oil? Do we put our faith in the person praying for us? Do we put our faith in the elder or elders that are praying for you? Is that where we put our faith? No. We put our faith in God, but here's one of the things that's really just cool. It's like any other sacrament. We sang some songs tonight, and we can just sing songs and never worship. We can sing the right melody, still never worship. Or we can actually enter in sacramental, something in the natural that speaks to a greater spiritual truth that has the power to change. So, or we can enter in with heaven because worship is going around the throne right now. Amen. And we can enter right in with heaven. We can worship with heaven, and our lives can be transformed. It's something in the natural. We can come forward to get prayed for, to be anointed with oil, and we can walk away with nothing more than an oily forehead. Isn't that right? Our faith is in the God of the universe who created these physical bodies and can bring healing to these physical bodies. Amen? And the cool thing is that it's a practice. The prayer of faith is a practice that's specifically been laid out in Scripture. The New Testament church has practiced anointing with oil from the inception of the church. So with that in mind, I say let's use everything that God has for us. Let's use it all. Amen? And then it says, it continues to go on. It's interesting. Confess your trespasses. Confess your trespasses to one another. I was You know, I'm not going to say that the Lord spoke to me audibly, but I think it's very interesting in a discourse that James is talking about sickness, that then he then also talks about unforgiveness. We could say it another way. We could talk about the power of forgiveness. And do you know what? I can just say this. I can't speak about it medically, although I have read some things that there are some in the medical community that feel like people that hold grudges or things like that, that it can lead to different sicknesses in the human body. But I can just say from my years in ministry that unforgiveness, bitterness, grudges, things like that, definitely. I'll say this. I've seen that when people get over those, get through those, get free from those or whatever, that it's interesting how that many times ailments in their physical body will begin to go away. How many of you know that bitterness and things like that eat away like a cancer? Right? I mean, it's something. And I just think it's really, I think it's cool, but I think it's on purpose that it's here. Verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And then look, and if anyone has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Does that just seem odd that it's, notice it says, and. So here you're talking about praying for the sick, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. It's like, hello, okay. Where does that tie from? How many of you know when Jesus ministered to some people in the Gospels, that it seemed like, in fact, in one instance, he said, because he got called on the carpet for forgiving their sins, right? Got called on the carpet, and what did Jesus respond? He said, what is it easier to do, heal or forgive? In other words, I look at it like this. How many of you know salvation, if I could say it that way, in the fullest sense of the word, takes care of everything. Amen? Really does. And sickness in the body is one of those things as well. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Look at this, that you may be healed. Now, what do you think that healed is talking about? Do you think that healed is talking about a physical ailment, heal? Or do you think that heal is talking about some emotional whatever? I say yes, right? Yes to both. I mean, it can be either or, and put them all together, right? There's something powerful about if there's stuff, confess your trespasses. So in other words, issues, offenses, sin. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, do you think this is talking about a different type of prayer now? I don't think so. I still think it's talking about the same prayer, the prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Obviously, ladies, that's generic, you know, of a righteous man or woman avails much. In other words, accomplishes great things. Aren't you thankful that prayer is just not a vocal exercise? Aren't you thankful that prayer is real? I mean, it really helps. It really brings whatever it is that we're praying about. Prayer really, really works. Okay, now go over to the book of Philippians. Well, actually, just put your, I'm going to put a note in mine. So Philippians 4, just go ahead there, go there, and then just put a little marker or something like that, because we'll get back to that. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15, Jesus said to them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly things, it will by no means hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So, you know, just for sake of clarity, how many of you know that picking up snakes would be from an accidental perspective? Anybody brings a snake in here, you will be escorted out. You may get shot on the way. We're trying to kill the snake. But... Are you with me? Yeah, all right. So we don't do that. We don't, you know, that snake handling deal. What a wild deal. And if they drink any deadly thing, how many of you know that's also by accident? Amen. It just as a cool praise report years ago when our second daughter was not quite born. Dorette's mom came up to Nova Scotia where we were living, and in the middle of the night she got up, and Dorette happened to have, for I don't know why, but happened to have a glass of bleach sitting out on the counter. Do you ever remember why did you have that out?
It was a mason jar that had a lid on it.
Yeah, and
the lid was off.
And Dorette's mom drank it. Now, how many of you know that's a bad deal? Straight bleach. We prayed for her, and we quoted that scripture. We just prayed the word and said, you know what? That's poison. She did it accidentally. You'd have never done it on your own. And we prayed for her, and you know what? She was none the worse for wear.
Didn't even throw up, right?
She never even threw up. Man, I'd have hooked my guts up from my belly button would have been sticking out my mouth. Oh, yeah. But anyhow, and it says, so here's the thing that I want to encourage us in. So are elders the only people that can pray the prayer of faith? Okay. Why would you say that? James says, let him call forth the elders of the church and let him anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So why would you say you don't need to have an elder do that? Y'all are mumbling. You know what? If you're going to draw a line in the sand, draw a line in the sand. But Scripture says clearly, if anyone's sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Who are the elders? This is good. This is really good. We are going to be united when we're done. We're divided right now, but we are going to be united when we're done. All right? So, to be specific, at the time of this writing, James is one of the later, at the time of this writing, when it says let him call the elders of the church, he's talking about those that hold that office. Or it's not generic. So, just to put it in its church context, he's not talking about just somebody that's mature. He's talking about a real full-on elder. Okay? And not elder as in if you came out of the Baptist church or whatever, not talking about that kind of an elder. We're talking about the ministry gift of an elder, okay? Or the church structure elder. So that specifically is really what he's referring to. So I'm on purpose just messing with your head a bit, okay? Specifically, he is talking about that. Does that exist today? Absolutely. There really is something about, listen, there's nothing magical about me as a senior pastor. There's nothing magical about it. But there is something that's scriptural about coming, if I could say it this way, coming forward. If a church service is happening, there is something about coming forward and having your pastor lay his hands on you. There's something scriptural about that. Or calling and you know, if somebody's shut in, to go visit somebody. And you know, I keep a little bit of oil with me everywhere. I've got it with me all the time. And now that I said that, I don't have any on me right now, but I've got it close by always. Seriously, in the event that somebody were to call me and say, Pastor, I'm sick and I'd like you to come over and lay your hands on me, I'd like to be anointed with oil. And men, we're happy. Okay? But can you do that? If you don't stand in the office of a pastor, you're not a, quote, an elder in an official capacity. Can you do that?
Yes.
My question would be, well, do you believe in his name? Because here's what I want you to read this again with. I want you to take out in verse 17, you'll notice that we've inserted, when I say we, our English language has inserted a colon. It's not going to change it a bunch. We'll just put the emphasis in a different spot. No, the emphasis. It's amazing what happens when you put the emphasis in a different spot. Okay? So it says that, and these signs will follow those who believe, and we usually pause because in our language, a comma or a colon causes you to at least mentally pause for a moment. And these signs will follow those who believe. Take a breath, start again. In my name, they'll cast out demons and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so we do that certainly in his name. But I just also want you to take out that colon, and I don't want you to take that mental rest. Am I doing any disservice to Scripture? No. Original language has no punctuation. Okay? So now, just read it like this, and I'm not going to take a breath. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons, and so on and so forth. So my question for you is, are you a believer? And if you are, I say then that we can. So that's not to negate. That's not to negate James 5. Because James 5, you got to realize, James 5 is written when the church is going. This thing called the church, the Christian church, is going by the time James writes it. Okay? Jesus hasn't even left yet. The church isn't birthed yet as far as the New Testament church goes. It's not birthed yet when Jesus said that, right? So then some argue that, yeah, okay, but the church then, how it began to be in full operation was through the eldership. Okay, I get that, and I can even not necessarily disagree with that. But I also believe this, that if you're somewhere, moms and dads, I want to encourage you. We can cultivate this in our children. Cultivate what? That, you know what, when they're sick, let's get, okay, I'm not saying that we don't go to a doctor, because thank God for doctors, right? But I am saying, in the middle of all of it, let's always pray first. Isn't that right? I mean, that we just always pray. It's just, I want it to have been, and it is, in the DNA of all of my children, when something happens, Daddy pray, Mama pray. That's the first thing we do, okay? One may be calling 911 while we're praying, but the first thing we're doing is praying. Amen? And, you know, I think it's important, and I think it's right. Parents, let's cultivate our children, if I could say it this way, in church practice, that there's been centuries handed down to us. Man, let's have our kids get anointed with oil when they're sick. I mean, really, let's have them get anointed with oil. Let's get that culture inside of them that, you know what, God does use natural things to bring about supernatural things. Amen? And, you know, I've anointed all my children with oil over the years. I don't always anoint them with oil, but I have over the years. It's not something new to them. But it is, I will say this, that it is new to a lot of Christians today, even though it's centuries old. It's what the church has done from the get-go, okay? And then it just says, what I love, this Mark chapter 16 deal, I just love how it's just almost an of course. I don't know. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. How many of you know there really are demons today? The demons, however, in America are the ones that couldn't make it in the third world. Some of you will think about that a little bit. The demons in America are the ones that couldn't make it in the third world. Third world's just too tough for them. It's a joke. Do you know why we don't see very many demon-possessed in America? We have a lot of institutions. I'm serious. We really do. Go to a third world nation. If I took you to a third world nation, I guarantee you within a day, I'd get you in front of somebody that's demon possessed, and you could see the power of God touch their life. Just like that. There are demons today, real demons in America. Every nation in the world, demons really do exist. Amen? But how many of you know? They're no match for Jesus. They can't even, to use a cowboy phrase, they couldn't even carry his duffel bag. Amen? So, and these signs will follow those that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. Okay, so how many of you know what? If you ever come across a demonic situation, you know, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? How many of you know the name of Jesus trumps it all? Trumps it all. They'll speak with new tongues. What's that from? Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We're in the last days. Isn't that right? How do you know we're in the last days, Pastor? All I'm repeating is what Peter said. Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, stood up, said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And he quoted from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. So speaking in tongues isn't something that's newfangled. It's something that believers do. Right? They'll take up serpents. Did that ever happen in Scripture? The Apostle Paul, when he went to the island of what? No. Island of Patmos? No, that's where John was. Miletus. Okay? Remember he got out to build a fire? Right? And snake bit him? Reached in, getting sticks for the fire. Snake bit him, and they thought he was going to die. In fact, the fact that he didn't die, what did it do to the people there? Many people believed, right? How many of you know signs aren't for you? They're to help somebody else believe. Amen? I'll never forget a story. Never forget a story. When I was young, I've always been drawn to missions my whole life. I've always loved what God is doing in the third world church. And I'll never forget a testimony of our church was very much a missions church. And I'll never forget a testimony of a Christian guy that came to a village in I forget which country in Africa. And he was bit by a black mamba. And a black mamba, you're going to die. That's just all there is to it. I think it's within a minute or so that typically you'll die. And of course, in this third world nation, the fact that they was bit by a mamba, you know, they were superstitious that there must be something evil about you. He had come there to preach the gospel. And, you know, they just were sure that what he was trying to bring was evil because he got bit by this snake. And he was very prudent. And he just said, quickly, get me to a bed, quickly. He went to a bed and he prayed. And he said, now leave me alone. Come check on me in the morning. Of course, they knew he'd be deader than a hammer. Whole village. You know, whole village just kind of sat outside this guy's deal, and they put black curtains over his whatever. And the next morning, he had breakfast with him. Guess what? Whole village gave their heart to Christ. How many of you know? Be easy to preach the gospel then, and these signs will follow those that believe. They'll take up serpents, and they'll drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, this is all by accident. Make sure you get that. You can't go around drinking poison and, you know, proving how spiritual you are. It will by no means hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, look at this. Most people don't read this discourse and finish it with verse 20, but let's read. So then, after the Lord spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. Would have you liked to just been there real time? Can you imagine Jesus telling you this? Seriously. So here you are. I mean, you've already experienced the miracle of a person that's already been raised from the dead. Okay, you're sitting there listening to him tell this, and then all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. What would you have done within the first 10 minutes? Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I just wonder who was the first one to speak up and say, well, I guess we got to go, right? But look at verse 20. I love verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. Obviously, they took God at his word. Look at this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What accompanying signs? What he just talked about. Prayer works. Because everything that is mentioned there is directly or indirectly related to prayer. Everyone. Speaking in tongues is prayer. Amen. Casting out demons is prayer. Getting bit by a snake accidentally. Drinking poison accidentally. How many of you know you're going to pray? Right? Every one of those has a dimension of prayer. And so I just want to encourage you. You know what? You can pray the prayer of faith. You can anoint somebody with oil. Amen? Pray for them. You know, I encourage when people go through our lay ministry deal, I encourage people to always keep just a little vial. You know, they got those vials that are about the big as your little finger. Just keep it with you. Ladies, keep one in your purse. Guys, keep one in your cubbyhole. How many of you know what a cubbyhole is? Only older people. Well, you're not older, but you probably had a dad that called it that. Do people not call it a cubbyhole anymore? What's it called? Glove compartment? Well, that makes sense. Jockey box? That's even more stupid. Jockey box? How dumb's that? Jockey has to deal with a horse. Whatever. Some Brit probably came up with that one. Jockey box. Glove box. Cubby hole. Cubby hole's what? Well, not in my car. Cubby hole. Cubby hole's where you open it up and there's where your registration is. Right? Yep. All right. So with that, I just want to encourage you, seriously, keep stuff like that around. Why? Because you know what? There may be some people, here's the thing, you know, and people can really begin to split hairs on stupid stuff. But you know, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, would you please anoint me with oil? You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to go into a diatribe of why you don't need to be anointed with oil. You know, we can just speak the word over you and you're healed. Because listen, there's some things that people come forward and God's created, I think, many of these things for our sake, strictly for our sake, that we can grab a hold of something. It's for our sake. So if somebody comes forward to me and there's a note that they can grab a hold of and go, you know what, if I can just get anointed with oil, I believe I'll be healed. That's not the time for me to teach them, well, you don't need to be anointed with oil. I mean, after all, it's just oil. There's nothing magical about the oil. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, man, I'd be happy to anoint you with oil. So have some available. You know, get those little deal like that and just stick it in your purse. And you may go years without using it. But you know what? The time that you may use it may save somebody's life. Literally, you know? So anyhow, we'll stop there. Is that okay?